Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is co-author of the book, The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on, 323-969-0088. Welcome again to Circles of Change, our first guest and broadcast partner, Mark Samuel. How's everything in California today, Mark?
Everything's great, Sarah. Thanks.
Sunny as always here on the greater west side of this fine country of ours. Well, Mark, we always know the life condition is, as much as you and I are up and positive people, that there are times, though, when we really are kind of down in the dumps and, having to shake that off. And I know you had a fun title for a segment called Dealing with Disappointment Without Being Disappointed. Sounds like a double looping effect, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's a bit of a misnomer, but there is some truth in it, because the issue around disappointment is that we are going to invest ourselves in either projects, potential jobs, relationships that could at any time go south for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've put our hopes in it, our dreams in it, even our expectation in it, we do get disappointed. And there's, it is a human response to feel that disappointment. And I do think that's, you can be as quote-unquote spiritual as you want and feel like, well, I shouldn't have that. That's, unless you're going to live as a monk up in the mountains when there's nobody around you, and even then you probably get disappointed by something, you're still going to get disappointed as long as you're in the human form. So the question is, how do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal with it in a way where the sting of being disappointed is less harsh?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it requires a few things. So first of all, are we setting ourselves up in whatever we are expecting? Like, first of all, if I'm expecting this person to love me forever and marry me and we're on our second date,
right. Yeah,
that may be,
a little bit out there.
Yeah, I might be setting myself up for failure. If I'm expecting that, I'm going to send out, 10 applications to colleges and all 10 are going to accept me and I'm going for the best in the world, I may be setting myself up for disappointment. So it's like, first you got to check, what are you setting, what do you have expectations around so that you don't set yourself up for a fall unnecessarily?
Yeah, that's well put.
The second part is that, let's say my expectation is reasonable, and I've been, I've had this recently around a client that we thought was going to do some real major work with us, and then all of a sudden they decide they're not going to go in that direction. It came completely out of the blue. We're ready to sign the contract, and it was really a huge impact. Well, that wasn't an unreasonable expectation. We were right next to signing the contract, so it wasn't like I was expecting something way too soon. So there is the disappointment, and the first thing is, what did we learn from it? Is there anything in going back over my conversations, my communication, where I was either overstating something, not quite telling the truth, but kind of selling them on something? Is it something that I was out of integrity with myself? That's the first thing. Or is there something for me to learn in how I presented myself? Like, maybe I got too comfortable too soon. Maybe I, overemphasized negatives and whatever. It's like, what can I learn from it?
Or I'll even take an even simpler one for me, because I found myself in this very situation you talked about. Put a lot of energy into pulling together a quotation for someone, and didn't hear back for about a month, which was kind of odd. But lo and behold, I didn't realize they were competitively bidding the job. I had thought I had heard I had already been pre-selected. And lo and behold, when they said, well, no, we've selected someone else, I was shocked then I thought to myself, I must have missed that in the opening dialogue.
Right, right. And it is those little cues. And understand that every situation that is disappointing to us is the opportunity to learn something that we needed to learn anyway.
Anyway, you betcha.
And the point is, can I learn it this time so I don't have to repeat this kind of disappointment again unnecessarily? And to me, that's a really big issue. It's whatever we need to learn, we'll have the opportunity to do that. It's probably not going to feel good at the time that it shows up. But if we do take the high road and learn from it, then there's a great chance we won't have to repeat it. Or we'll get tested and get a chance to, you know, see how we do again.
Well, I think the other thing for those that certainly on the line listening today that are parents or stewards of youth, you know, how many situations we encounter in coaching our young people, and you almost want to say, listen, trust me, sooner you deal with this when you're 15 versus 25, 35, or 45 for the first time. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is a muscle. It's, you know, it's a, getting disappointed is a strength builder. Because life is about disappointments. That is inevitably going to happen, where we get let down in multiple of ways. But the question is, how well do we get ourselves back up once we have the disappointment? And those that get up the quickest are generally the ones that, you know, are more successful. It's like I was just hearing about somebody. I was up in Canada visiting my relatives a little over a month ago, and I, you know, they were talking about this very successful businessman, and I'm talking about extremely successful, like mega billions, that has gone bankrupt three times.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I don't know that I could handle that disappointment. But the fact that he can handle the disappointment of going bankrupt and then building back his empire and then going bankrupt again and building back his empire, I'm thinking, wow, he really knows how to do that.
Right. Now, one would also hope he would know how to not get there in the first place, but, you know, conditions may change, or there could have been an entirely different business scenario. Well, Mark, you said, you know, a couple points that, you know, are we setting ourselves up to fail right at the onset? So obviously the skill of establishing good agreements with ourselves is so important before we even launch in that area. Number two, though, if, you know, even if we have reasonable expectations, but something sidetracks it, the idea of learning from it, regardless, so we're building these muscles.
And you had a third point. Yep, the third point's actually the most important. It's how do you treat yourself with a disappointment? Because in reality, it's not necessarily a disappointment as much as it is a loss. And when there's a loss, there's grieving. And when there's grieving, you're going to feel angry, you're going to feel hurt, you're going to feel dejected. All of those things are normal, and it's not wrong or bad to feel it. But the question is, how do we parent ourselves through it? Do we give ourselves a hug? Do we treat ourselves with kindness and compassion, saying, gee, I understand that it is hurtful and it's okay to feel that way, and allow yourself to cry and allow yourself to be upset, not in a reactive mode on somebody else and not in a, you know, let's go drink away the pain or let's eat away the pain or drug away the pain. But no, it's how do I sit and hold with you while you're feeling that hurt, that disappointment? And to me, that's the actual critical skill that I find most important around disappointment.
And so that skill building, because I think you're that's absolutely true. And in fact, I believe that's part of the challenge as parents, is to step back and let your children go through those steps that they're going to have to go through in dealing with, you know, the loss of a favorite pet, or they can't find their toy that they always carried with them. And not that you're not going to turn the house upside down and try to find it, but part of it is to learn this idea of letting go and realizing that's going to happen.
Yes, and how many parents, you know, including my own, said, don't cry, you're being silly, don't get so upset, and it was all about numbing the emotions, numbing the feelings as opposed to being held through them.
I see.
We're not instigating them, but we're allowing them to be as a natural process, just the way that if you see any young infant who will scream and cry and then literally 2 minutes later be laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they can get themselves through it at that young an age. But as they grow older, they learn from parents it's not okay. Intolerance, impatience. And that's, to me, one of the big, just speaking personally, that's where one of my greatest learning is still in place. Because I get impatient with myself, and I get angry with myself for getting disappointed or setting myself up or whatever that is, or making the mistake and thinking I did something wrong. No, you didn't do anything wrong necessarily. After you learned, that's fine. That was what that was for. Now it's a matter of still feeling the hurt and allowing yourself to feel it and loving yourself through that process.
The challenge for leaders that are then, whether it be in the family context or in a project team, people that work for you, to know how to walk that careful line of letting people grieve and getting through it, as opposed to wallow and staying stuck?
Yes. And that's where, it is a fine line, because the one thing about grieving, though, is that it's not about checking out of society.
Yeah.
You can go through your grieving and take some time, but at the same time, you still have to, go shopping, feed your family, do what needs to be done, and oftentimes that movement actually helps you to get through it.
You bet, yeah.
It's just that it's okay to feel a little bit down for a while. It's okay to say, gee, I need some space for a while. What's not okay is when we stifle it and then we become reactive or angry with others all in that process. And then, that becomes an issue. But I do think you're right. In the workplace, it's worth having the conversation. I know organizations that actually would do that. They have group sessions, just say, hey, let's just talk about how that felt. The fact that, we got downsized, and let's have it, let's express it and what we feel about it and stuff like that, just so that they could get past it.
Oh, I recall doing a session just like that with a full organization that I led. And when I came out of it, number one, the man I reported to said, were you nuts? I mean, talk about a high-risk situation. Or some of my peers said to me, oh, great, now we have to go do one of those things, too, with our groups. And I said, well, that's your issue. But no, actually, you're right. They can be, it's not for the light of heart to walk in, but you have to be very open and honest and vulnerable to whatever's going to come your way. But on the other side of it, when people walked out the door, they left some of that junk behind, which was so important.
Exactly. And it's about the clear intention and boundaries around that say, yeah, we're not going to hurt other people. We're not going to hurt ourselves. We're going to express what needs to be expressed, and we're going to be done. And if you need more time, you need to take more time on your own and care for yourself. But at the same time, you can't be hurting others because you're not back at work putting yourself in here.
Mm-hmm.
You need extra support.
Yeah.
We'll provide it.
I liked what you said, though, that it's this idea of movement that really helps. I think you're absolutely right. And whether that be, I remember as a springboard diver in high school when I threw this one difficult dive and lo and behold, I hit the board. And it was quite dramatic, theatrical, and so on. And something inside of me said, I better get up on that diving board and throw that dive again, or I will never do it again. And just the idea of saying, okay, I'm still going to take the step forward and go do it again, which I did. It never was one of my favorite dives, but nonetheless, I think if I hadn't, I would have stayed stuck in that other place. So whether that be meaning physical exercise for people, Mark, when something difficult happens, or picking up a next new book, or listening to different music, or going for a drive, provided it's emotionally safe for you to do that, getting fresh air, all those things really can be of great assistance.
Yes, and here's where I think what you're raising is absolutely key, and here's why. It's that the problem is that it compounds itself when our minds start to mull it over.
Oh, yes.
So we have the disappointment, and that's fine. We have the feelings of disappointment, and that's fine. But the problem with it not letting go of it is the fact that our minds keep replaying it. And sometimes we replay it with the what-if scenarios, if I would have done it differently. Sometimes we play it with, boy, I'd like to get back at them. But whatever it is that's that replay that keeps going, that's what we have to stop. And you literally have to stop it and say, no, it's over. That's history. I've learned what I could learn. That's not part of the grieving, if you would. See, that's the mind taking over and using it against you.
Well, let's take that to a level, and it's not, sometimes it's not just your mind. I had a client recently who, for a variety of reasons, it was important that her managers have her step back and manage just a portion of the prior job that she had been handling and really struggling with it. And they did a wonderful job, I felt, in explaining to her why this was good for the total organization, that she just focus on this portion of the job. And you know what? She was really at peace with that and resolved and said, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed I haven't shown my best stripes on the rest of the job. So she went away for that weekend, and lo and behold, over the weekend, some of her work colleagues called up and it said, I'm so sorry to hear you got demoted. And all these, you know, it's really too bad. And that wasn't the case whatsoever. She was not demoted. Her pay was not infected. And in fact, in many regards, they were really wanting to focus her for the greater success of the team. But, you know, it took another 2 weeks after that before she could finally shake it off, because these other voices showed up, and they literally were literally people around her.
Yes. And again, you're raising such a critical point, because drama always fuels the disappointment.
Yeah.
We get over disappointment so much faster if we didn't have the drama from others or the drama in our own minds about it. And the drama can come in the form of, in our own minds, as embarrassment, or, gee, I thought it was going to be there, so I counted on it. Or it could come from others, just as you said, you know, in their drama of being demoted, or what a catastrophe, and literally catastrophizing a situation that's just a normal disappointment. People do not know how to handle it. And parents are not teaching us how to handle it, because we never learned that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that carries. Well, it's, you know, this idea of compounding when our mind mulls it over and over. So the idea of, Mark, how can we control the tape that's playing in our head, right?
Yeah.
And so that goes back to what we've said, this idea of movement, this idea of maybe not fooling ourselves, but realizing we need to put our energy now into the recovery plan or some other tangential effort that has every bit of possibility, and also to learn from it in the process.
Yes. And really, that's what I like about the movement, because the first key is you got to stop the negative tape, or the drama, you know, that's in your mind. But one of the best ways to do that is refocus yourself on what you need to do next. And so if you've got something to do next, or go for a run, or whatever, go shopping. It's like, you know, go shopping for food or whatever. It's like, you know, anything that needs to be done that you then put your focus on is so helpful to stop that tape. And it's, again, it's a real skill for anyone that has somewhat of a habit, if you will, of getting discouraged, getting down on ourselves, being self-judgmental. Just got to stop the tape. Like, the more that tape runs, the bigger the hole that you're digging.
I think that it also is really wise advice for those of us that set ourselves up to do so many, many things, that we have such high expectations for ourselves, and also we think we've done all the right things for our teams to set them up to succeed, yet, as you would say so nicely, it's the human condition to end up with, you know, needing to course correct or to deal with the disappointments of life.
Yes. Yes, and when all else fails, again, it's getting very present, even focusing on your breathing. Like when I get really panicked about something or really discouraged about something, you know, I will remind myself, okay, just breathe and feel yourself breathe, because it gets me so present, and it takes such focus to do that, that I no longer am thinking about the drama in my mind that's creating this catastrophe.
And on top of that, by the way, you've survived so many of these up to this point in time, that successful history will repeat itself, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Well, Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation, and that's MarkSamuel.com as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be in touch in the next couple weeks.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
You bet. Take care.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.